you hear me?
Yes, Sophia, can now. Just got in.
Okay, yeah, that's why. Well, looks like I'm starting every meeting talking by myself. I'm gonna try without that. Sorry about, I don't know. I had another meeting before, but with another account, and it got mixed up. So, how are you all doing?
Okay.
Is that good or is that not good?
That's not terribly good, no.
No, it doesn't sound like it. And why? So you want to talk about it?
I do, but I don't want to take up everybody's time.
Okay, then maybe we can just go around and see how everyone is doing and then come back to you.
Excellent.
All right. So I'll bet you're with us. Good. Looks like it works. Who else wants to check in? No one? Then we'll go back to you, Gail.
I am challenged by something, and it sort of, it doesn't make me feel good. So maybe I could get some ideas. Mm-hmm. My dog is very reactive. And throughout this, I've discovered, she's actually she's afraid of so much and so many things. Or she's quite reactive. And so she's calmed down in the house a bit. She's calmed down in the yard and so on. But I'm struggling with the whole idea of the exercising her and the activities for her. Mm-hmm. Because we have I know this is not a positive way to look at it. So this is part of my problem, but we have cut out the things that she really wants to do. Mm-hmm. So she's high energy. She loves to run, but I mean like run like a deer bound mm-hmm. through the forest, like run. So, okay, we're not doing that because I can't be, I don't have 95% confidence that she will return to me when called or not be, you know, amped up because she saw a little animal or something. Then, you know, so then we do agility to also exercise her and exercise her mind, which it gets excited when I say we're going and everything, but we're not doing that now either because I can't be guaranteed that, you know, there's not going to be another dog outside the ring somewhere that she is not comfortable with. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of gone like that. So there's like, okay, we have a yard. So then we're not walking and we're not, you know, okay. So then we have a yard, which is fine. It's like, okay, we'll play out there. We'll use that as our exercise place. But in the last couple of weeks, I don't know if it's because we had work done in our yard or just because we've shifted the way we're doing things. Most days, she will go run into the yard with her brother and do her business or whatever. Sometimes they will run around and play together, whatever. But if I ask her to come into the yard with me, like to play ball or something, many times, including today, she will just put the brakes on right on the steps on the deck and will not go onto the grass, will not go into the yard. I'm like, okay, so we're going to practice our stuff in the house, which is great, but this is not enough for this dog, right? So mm-hmm. It's been a couple weeks. She comes to me in the mornings. I'm all after she eats and all of that. She's excited. She comes up. She'll even jump on me, which she will only do once every, you know, day or something, like, come on, let's go do something. But when I try to like into the backyard, she puts the brakes on and we don't leave the yard with her due to not having 95%, you know, confidence that there won't be something out there that she will react to or whatever. And so I'm feeling very deflated. Because I can't in my mind come up with what do I do? Can I take her somewhere? You know, is there such a place?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Kathy's, one of Kathy's recent posts said, and if you're at the, this module, and if you're struggling or something like that, ask for help. So help.
Received. My first question before trying to see what you could do with her is, where do you, are you clear with the different percentages that Kathy gave, like 10-15% high arousal? Because that's only 30 to 60 minutes a day. It's not more than that.
Yeah. Yes, I understand that. But so it's like at this point, because we don't take her anywhere, we have very little of that, because she will, you know, if she doesn't play in the yard, then there's no high arousals. You know what I mean? So I'm not even, I'm actually looking for ways to fill in my 30 to 60.
I understand that, but my question is more like, before that, how long did she have high arousal activities every day? Was it about 30 to 60 minutes a day, or was it a lot more?
Oh, no, it wasn't a lot more, no. And it wasn't even every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So you could just stick to the same amount of time. That would not be a problem. You just need to find ways to fill it.
Yes.
Okay.
I also have a question about sort of when you're thinking about, so high arousal is when the dog is excited. Is that versus reactionary? So reactionary is just off the table. So if there's a possibility she's going to react to something, does that mean that is off the table? That's not the same as high arousal. Okay.
That would be the same as over arousal, which is when you lose the connection with the dog.
Right.
You can have a dog where we have one here like that. She loves the ball, and she can run and jump and do all sorts of crazy things because she loves to play. But I never lose the connection with her, even when she's like that. So that's how I know that it's high arousal and not over arousal.
Okay.
Yep. So, and then just before moving on to exactly ideas of what to do, about medium arousal and low arousal, do you have those filled in?
Not terribly well. I mean, I don't think my activities are great, you know? Okay, I shouldn't say that. I mean, we could go for a car ride. We can do some tricks. We can do the walking partners dance. And then sometimes like just lounging on the deck in our backyard is kind of medium, because she's like kind of paying, sometimes she's relaxed, sometimes she's paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, that's all I have.
Okay. Because I think you also need to find, it has to be balanced. I mean, if you're not, you have difficulty finding high arousal activities, but you don't really have medium arousal activities either, you're going to feel that something is really missing.
Yeah.
If she's more on the low arousal side because of what you give her to do or what you do together, then I think something is going to be missing a lot more. So what can you do? Do you know of places around you and where you live where you have space and where you could use a long line?
There are places that I could go and use a long line, but I can't be guaranteed that, you know, there won't be a dog outside the big, huge fenced park or walking by, you know, or if we go into the woods where there's trails, even on a long line, like I can't be guaranteed that another dog won't show up on those trails.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of being guaranteed that nothing is going to happen. It's just that you're trying to find ways where it's a lot less likely. And then, okay, well, if it happens, you know what to do. And I'm thinking, okay, if something is, if the dog does show up, well, she's on a long line, so you can still get back to to kind of quiet, I mean. Because looking for 100% nothing is going to happen places, that's just, to me, I mean, it's just not life. So you're just going to be looking for places where it's a lot less likely. And okay. Then you maybe what you can also do to improve your chances of not meeting anyone is maybe go at different times of the day.
Yes.
Early in the morning or late in the evening. I don't know what it's like, if it's possible, but I know that for now here it's getting warm. So what I just love to do is go out, and it's just for me, for my pleasure, but I love it, is take the girls for a walk at 7 in the morning. And yes. I'm considering going even earlier than that, just simply because it will be cooler, but you might do the same for other reasons.
Yes. And so, okay, I understand. So, okay, so it means that these things are not completely off the table for us. We just have to modify them. I guess I was concerned that that they were supposed to be completely off the table. Like, and I didn't have a replacement. So even when I looked at my clarity, it's like, I don't have an exercise replacement. So I can go ahead and try what you're saying.
I don't know. That's the way I see it. Cause I know, I mean, looking for places where there's zero chance of anyone, you just never know. Then it's going to be just staying at home, which is also good. And it's also a place where you can find things to do. I mean, you have to try to look for different options, and see what works and explore with them too. It's not like you're going to come up with a list and it's going to be right away, okay, I got my list, it's set, it's fine, all right. You're just going to have ideas and go, okay, I'll try that. That was fine, but maybe I can change it that way. Or, well, no, that did not work at all. And it's still okay. I mean, it's still part of the word, the process of exploring, that you never really know how things are going to turn out. So you can give yourself that kind of freedom to say, okay, I'll try and I'll see.
Okay.
And if she has a long line and you're in a place where she has space, then I guess she could let that energy out. And then I don't know if she likes playing fetching balls or stuff like that, but you can do it that then too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've tried smell games or stuff like that. What we do often here, but you have one or two dogs too.
I have two.
Okay. So I know... Kathy usually more advises to do that for just one dog, but we just take kibble. We don't feed them kibble, but we take kibble and we just let them in the grass and they go search for it. So maybe if you separate your two dogs, you could do it for her. And that would be maybe a way for her to just sniff and let some energy out that way as well.
Okay.
That would, I don't know if you think it would be more high energy or medium energy. It depends on one dog or the other.
Right. What do you think? That would probably be like a medium energy thing, because you're like, you don't get to throw the kibble very far, right? So it's more mental.
Sometimes
energy.
I do, yeah. I just go like, I throw as far as I can.
Yeah. But it uses lots of mental energy then to go and find. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're more in the medium arousal. So that's why I was asking before. I understand that you're focusing on the high one, but that's, you have to find other ways for the, well, you have to have ways to help her with medium arousal as well.
Yes.
What you were doing, like we're saying, like tricks and stuff like that, or car rides, or walking partner's dance and stuff like that is great too. Is anyone thinking about anything else that maybe give a try?
Maybe I have an idea.
Yeah.
So sometimes I feel a Kong, and then I let her inside the house, and then I put the Kong somewhere in the garden at a time when usually not so much people are walking past the garden, and then I let her search for it. And so she's running through the whole garden, so she gets off energy. And it's quite safe when there are not so much people outside.
Yeah, it's a good idea. So what do you think, Gail? Could you try that?
Yes, I could. Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, it's. I think it's really a matter of each of us knowing what our dogs like, what they need in terms of letting energy out. And maybe also not confusing, that's why I was asking you about how much time, what they need and what they're used to. Okay, and talking about that, I'm thinking about you, Lynn, and about Jarvis, about how you act. You really campaign to go out on walks, not because he needed it, but because it was used to it.
Yeah, and absolutely.
We can really get confused with that and say, okay, well, you're asking, so that means that you need it, and you're just asking before because that's what we've always done. So.
And I thought he loved charging around after the ball. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he does. But I thought because he loved it, he had to do it every day, every walk, because he looked for it, because that's what we did at that time. Yeah. And it took me 18 months to break that one. and surprisingly, at the beginning of lockdown, when he didn't go out for much, for about 3 weeks, and I was trying to get him to toilet in the garden, it was amazing, in spite of the stress that was caused around that time, that he didn't go crazy for the lack of exercise. So we just did other things. Lots of find it games for him. Mm-hmm. Which we varied between the sort Louise described, where the dog can go at a faster pace, searching for something on his own, and then also doing it on lead, so a more controlled way, and getting that communication, you know, asking them to show you where it is. So there's a partnership element. So that would just bring the arousal level down, maybe.
It's something that you do together.
Mm.
Is that helping you, Gail?
It is helping me. I don't know why she has put the brakes on going into our yard, and I keep trying to figure that one out, because that would be very useful if she would just come out in the yard and play more. And she will go out with her brother, and she will go out at other times. But, you know, when you have the ball, or I don't know, invite her, then she just puts the brakes on and won't go. So it's like she feels some kind of pressure.
And if you just don't do nothing, you just go because you want to go, and maybe you go with the other dog, but you're not putting any pressure on her, and you just go, well, I'm just gonna go in the yard, and you do what you want. It's probably about pressure. You're probably right.
Yes, but she just doesn't come then, so it's like, okay, we can't play today.
Well, yeah, but then I mean, for one, it's her choice.
Yeah.
So I mean. She's free to make that choice. And then also maybe, I don't know how you go about it, but maybe if pressure, I think, has a lot to do with expectations. And when what we would like or what we expect is not happening fast enough, we easily fall into frustration. And then if I put myself in your shoes and I'm trying to do what you're trying to do, probably what I will do very fast is go back home and go like, well, okay, fine. You don't want to go. All right. You see what I mean? So maybe just Have you tried hanging out outside? Just so you're not really doing it for her, you're doing it for yourself, and you're just letting go of that expectation that she will join you, that, okay, I would love you to join me, but you're free to do what you want.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't know, take a book or do something that has nothing to do with her, so that maybe then she will stop feeling that you're expecting something from her and that she's reacting against the pressure.
Right.
Have you done anything like that?
I've just sort of kept walking around and stuff, but yeah, it's not my sort of, that area isn't my normal hangout. So you're right, I don't just go out there and hang out. And so maybe I can try, I can definitely try that. And then maybe she will come along and be interested in doing something to run around or play or whatever. But I guess I can just go out there and try to hang out in that area more.
And I would say hang out. And I would also say, be happy to do it by yourself.
Okay.
That she doesn't feel, because if you're like, okay, I'm doing it because I'm waiting for you to come, it's still pressure, even if you're doing something else. So find something that you can find pleasure in. Do it for yourself. Discover a new part of your yard, or I don't know, a new way of being there. And also another thing that we've discussed a few times, like, I don't know, yesterday evening in the certification group, was about patience and just holding the space for them to respond if they want to, instead of expecting something. For me, that was really a big one. I mean, patience for me was like, I'll just wait for you to do what I want you to do. I'll wait. Okay. But I'll wait for you to do what I want you to do.
This is the meditation for you.
But then maybe patience is just opening up that space. And then there is no pressure anymore. And then maybe she will feel a lot better and say, okay, well, I'm just going to go and see. And you will see what happens.
Okay. So just to summarize, it's okay to take her out of the yard or whatever, off the property, if I think I can find a place where it's pretty likely that she would be able to just do her own thing and not have reactions.
Yeah. What do you think, Mary? My yes, that's my feeling. Yeah. You thought that you had to find places where you were certain there were no possibilities of any...
I think my interpretation was that I needed to wait for a time. So we are improving our connection at home and so on. I felt like I had to wait for a time until she was not reacting at home at all before we could move to trying other spaces outside of our yard or our home.
To me, you need to find places where she's going to be safe, calm, and happy outside as well. What do you think, Mary?
I'm thinking about my experience with Flickr, which is probably different because I didn't hear the beginning of the conversation. So I don't really know your dog's situation, Gail. Sorry. I mean, I would go somewhere that I could be fairly sure that it's going to be the right environment. Possibly use a long line, but I'm sort of coming into this cold, really. Sorry, straight from work. if you know, I think it just partly it's your gut feeling. There's what you want to do, and you don't obviously want to rush something. In another sense, if you're endeavouring to be as safe as you can, I don't see that. You know, there isn't a right or wrong about this, is there, really? I mean, it's all experimenting. Obviously, we don't want to take a step that might put us and our dogs, quote, quote, back or something, you know. But I think I would go on my gut feeling. Sometimes I make mistakes. I mean, Flicker's a bit reactive at times, so I'm a bit careful about the times and where I go with her. But yeah, I don't really know what else to say. And the other thing that struck me when you were talking or about her coming out of the house into the yard, I was thinking that, yes, I certainly agree that the pressure part, that probably is what's happening, is we do put pressure on them to, because we're waiting. Another thing that I was thinking of is, although she's in the house, you could still make a connection with her, which maybe you're doing, possibly, but in a not in a pressure way. You know what the others have been talking about, making this picture in our mind. I mean, I've also been practicing this. Just send a little picture to her, if that doesn't sound too woo-woo. I don't know, you know, we're all experimenting and learning, and all our dogs and us are different. Yeah, that's all I've got at the moment.
Okay. Thank you.
You know, I don't know if you've ever tried, Gail, playing around with that image. Just the first time I did it was this week. And I was not even trying to send my dogs anything. I just thought, okay, whatever is in my mind, they will receive. So it's not like you're trying to send something. It's just, okay, you have that image in your mind and you just go, oh, okay, I know. In my case, it was okay. I know the ducks are right there, fine. I'm not gonna pay attention to that, and I'm just gonna focus on what I want to happen. So in your case, it would be more probably something like, I would just love, but without pressure, just I would love for you to come and join me, and we could just hang out, and we could just, you know what she likes to do, so you could have that included in your image in your mind, and probably, I mean, just thinking about that image makes you smile. And in that very smile, yeah, that's where you have the connection, because that's what's gonna attract her in some way. Maybe I'm not saying that she's gonna come in the yard, but that's how you're going to connect with her, just by imagining that you're doing something nice together, and you will see how she responds. And
I was just gonna say, or you just meditate yourself or whatever you do yourself, even without even thinking about her, and just get into a calm, happy place in your mind yourself. That sometimes works with me as well. But
yeah, there was a podcast with her. Kathy talks about the field of flowers. I don't remember which one it was.
Yeah.
I think it was a short while after BPA, so I would think somewhere around October, November, probably. BPA Live, I mean. but can try to find that one back.
So is it as clear as mud now, Gail?
Yeah. What's that? Sorry?
Is it as clear as mud now?
Yes, clear as mud, clear as mud. And after the personality test thing yesterday, the personality, you know, categorizing, I realized that I am sort of pretty clearly a metal.
Me too.
Which, I'm an accountant, you know, I follow the rules, I do all these things. And so I'm a metal with a wood backup. It's this process, you know, definitely has its challenges for me. And so when I come up against something like that, I go back to the framework that I've sort of picked up so far about the program and how to move forward. And I'm like, okay, how do I fit this into the framework, you know? And that's when I'm up against a wall sometimes.
Well, I don't know, did you have any insight about that, about discovering that your muscle and what it can mean to you, or?
Do I have any? I mean, I think I was already sort of aware I'm like this. The thing that I found interesting was in seeing the other personality types. And so now I'm recognizing that, yeah, my brain works the way it works. But that clearly other brains do not, including Roxy's. And so I'm trying to figure out now how we will, you know, blend our two ways. So I feel like she is more of a water with a fire backup. She's afraid a lot and cautious, but at the same time, she's very energetic and a bit hyper and so on. But so those things are really different than each other. And so I feel like my way is to be more, yes, organized and control and those kind of things. And that is not her way. And so now I'm trying to get my head around it. I will keep that in mind when I'm trying to do things with her, that I have to back up on my need for organization and control and meeting the guidelines and so on.
Yeah. And she,
excuse me. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that as a water, she is very sensitive to pressure, definitely.
Yes. Yes.
So maybe there is something there that you can find your need to control as a metal and her difficulty with pressure. I don't know, and find some way there in between where both of you can meet.
Yes. I haven't figured all that out yet.
It's okay. I am in the same combination. I'm a metal too, and Bliss, the youngest one, she's also water. And what I'm really learning with her is put as little pressure as I possibly can. And in a way I could tell you that it helps me, because my need to control as metal does make things harder for me as well, because I put pressure on others, but I put pressure on myself as well. So when I'm doing my best to meet her where she is and try to get rid of as much pressure as I can for her, I kind of do the same for me. So she is helping me in that way. And probably I would not have done it for myself. I mean, only for myself.
Right.
But because it's her, I do it.
And in doing so, I guess what has happened to me in trying to take the pressure off her, then we just don't do anything. other than the very basic low level, low arousal stuff that she can handle?
You know, it's funny because that's what I wrote down when you were talking earlier. The way I hear it, it's kind of directly linked to the first thing that you brought up, like we absolutely need to do things. And I do understand that she has that high arousal activities that, okay, that she has to have what she needs. But maybe the other side of that is that in the medium or in the low arousal, maybe we can be more than do, if you see what I mean. And not focus on, okay, what can I do to give her occupation? What can I do to keep her busy at whatever level it is? How can we just be together in medium arousal or low? Like Lynn was explaining, doing some searching games, but doing it with her, it's medium arousal, but it's not something that she does by herself.
Okay.
Does it make sense?
Yes. Do you have more examples of that kind of thing?
Like the sniffing games or looking for objects? I don't know if she has objects that she likes. And I'm thinking, well, okay, I'm going to have to look for that one too. Kathy also made a podcast about that very recently, about playing games. It was about the lockdown, and it was about playing games inside.
Okay.
So I can try to find that back too.
What about hide and seek?
Yeah.
Inside the house. I'm just thinking it's a good way to remove the pressure if she won't go outside.
Okay.
On a day when you've not been able to find somewhere that was safe to walk, where you felt safe, calm and happy, then perhaps just playing hide and seek in the house. I'm metal like you, and I got very stuck as well early on. I just couldn't see how we could restructure things, and even playing hide and seek, you just didn't seem to want to engage either. And then it's taken, I mean, I'm 20 months in now, I'm still experimenting with all kinds of things. And in the last few months, I just carried some treats with me to get hide and seek off the ground. Because at first he just didn't see the point of it. So he'd find me and I'd throw a treat in the opposite direction. And then you could bet your bottom dollar he wasn't far behind me when I was trying to run. And we're on four floors, so I was running up and downstairs. So it's good exercise for me, but it got him really highly aroused, did that, and he mentally and physically, I would say. So, you know, 10-15 minutes of that would wear him out. And I was also thinking, perhaps if you did that a few times, maybe you could then just hide outside, leave the door open, hide outside, and then you're taking away the whole thinking process of going through that doorway.
Yes,
it's just another way of looking at it.
Any other examples that people use?
I use a recycling item to make what I've called a snuffle box. I get a big cardboard box, loads of old bottles and pots, and put treats in, paper to tear up, egg cartons, old toilet rolls, and fold them up so the treat's in there, and then just let him, well, I vary it, sometimes just let him rummage through them and pull them out and open them, or tear the cardboard to get to the treat. Sometimes I'll hide them around the house, sometimes I'll hide them in the garden. So that would be another bridge, maybe, from doing something inside that then could just lead out without a big issue about going through the door. But he loves that. Obviously every dog's different, aren't they? But I can engage with him because he likes to bring me pots to help me open them sometimes. And he'll look at me to see where I've hidden them, you know, or to see whether there are any left to find. So it tends to be an engagement thing as well, but he finds that quite stimulating, entertaining.
Yeah, you have to try it out.
Think what else.
I also did something, I think Kathy mentions it in another podcast, or it might be in a coaching call somewhere, I can't exactly remember, where, because Flickr does quite like to, so she's the one who tends to need to do, seem to need to do something, but I've got some stairs, it's only a narrow place, but for instance, if she's standing at the top of the stairs, because we can do the hold, I'll do that, and then I'll put the ball at the bottom of the stairs, and then she'll go and get it, and then she'll bring it back up the stairs again, you know. I mean, it's something that's just quite simple, but she quite likes doing that. Well, actually, Katha does too, but she's, and I did that kind of thing after I'd had my hip surgery, and I couldn't really take them out. And if they did go out, they only went out once a day for a very short on lead walk. So, but they did remarkably well, actually. And I think it really did them good, because they were at least 6 weeks where they were in quite a low state of arousal, really. And I just did a few things, but sometimes I wasn't able to do much at all because I was quite weak, actually, and not very motivated. But I do remember Kathy saying something about that she used to play that with one of her previous dogs when she was a lot younger, maybe a kid, I can't remember, and she would throw the ball down the steps. But instead of having the dog rush wildly down the stairs, there would be a little pause, and then I think it was Hayley, actually, her dog Hayley, mm-hmm. would then go down to get it. And I did that very successfully with Flickr. And of course, as Lynn said, you can put something outside, and I mean, I'll do that, and they'll go out and look for it. But obviously, if, is it Roxy? If she's not too keen on going out, you have to gauge when you're going to do that. But yeah, all these things, there's, I'm sure there's lots of other things that can be done. Depends what she likes, you know, what sort of things Roxy likes doing.
Yeah, this is the thing. I have to figure that out, because what I know is she likes to run.
Is she a border collie?
No, she's a mix. She's a supposedly an Australian Shepherd boxer mix. She's very light and long-legged, and she loves to run.
You know, she may like to run, and she probably does, but maybe try not to get stuck yourself on that. She likes to run, so that's the only way I can help her energy out. That's what you're used to do, and that's what she's used to. But maybe now is just a great time to try to find new ways to do it. And yes. You know, it comes through my mind now. I'm not sure it relates to what you're saying, but the same one that we have, Zoo, was just crazy about balls. She was born at home, and I wanted the dog who plays ball, and the other ones did not. So I kind of made her do that, and she did. But then it kind of...
My morning hug.
Kind of took too much space in our relationship. Like, it's like she had really understood that the best way to connect with me was through playing with the ball, and so she wanted more and more of that, and she asked more and more of that. And in the beginning I would just say yes, and then at some point I started to feel pressured by her asking to play ball. Like, we would go on a walk, and she would just look at me the whole time, waiting for me to take that ball out. And because I felt pressured by her, at some point I said, well, you know, I'm sorry, but that's not working. I'm not feeling good, so I don't want to do that anymore. And I stopped. playing the ball, knowing that's the main thing that we used to do together. And I stopped. It took us, I don't know, maybe it took her like a week, 10 days to stop asking on the walks. But mostly what happened is like another door opened, and at home, she started connecting with us in a completely new way. It's like our usual way of interacting was not available anymore, and something completely different became possible because of that door that we closed. So I don't know if it can relate to you, but it's not because you're used to always having done things one way, then changing it cannot bring you something more and maybe something better. And maybe something very different that you're not used to. But it is about exploring and trying and just having fun in the process too, if you can. Okay? Mm-hmm. You have enough to go on?
I have a start for sure.
All right. Then you let us know how it goes.
Okay.
Okay, ladies, who else would like to share something? About module 1, 2, 3, assignments, insights, or whatever comes to your mind.
I have another question. Mm-hmm. I would like to brainstorm some jobs I could give Fenya, for example, when I'm out in the garden. Mm-hmm. So I guess she thinks her job is to control everybody who passes the garden. But for me, it's hard to find some other jobs for her. So yesterday I put the laundry outside, and so I thought, okay, maybe it can be her job to to guard the laundry box or something like that. Mm-hmm. But she did not really understand that. And she was watching the fence all the time. And so, I don't know. I'm not creative enough to think of a job I could give her when I just go out with her in the garden.
So if I'm understanding you well, you want to find a job that you can give to her so that she does not go to the fence. Mm-hmm. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. And have you tried anything else in that?
I tried that I give her some, I spread some treats and she can go and find them. Mm-hmm. And then when she finished, then I told her to wait for me until I'm finished. And then after some minutes, I spread some more treats in another direction. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure I keep her busy with the treats. And so then she don't think about the fence. But I'm not sure if this is really so good.
I guess my thought is the idea of giving our dogs a job related to stopping them from doing something or managing them doing something? I'm not explaining it right. What is the reason that we are giving our dogs a job?
As I understood it, it's so that the dog feels that it contributes to the family.
And
yeah. Yeah, I really want to give her that feeling, but I don't know how.
Yeah. I did previously struggle with this idea of what job to give the dogs, but I would think that for the time being, if outside is too stimulating with the barking at the fence. That I'm not sure. I don't know what you think, Cecile. Trying to give her a job when she's so distracted by stuff outside the fence might not be so successful as maybe doing it when you're inside and calm to start with. I don't know how you feel, because it's like you're trying to manage her through giving her a job to do, which I fully understand because I do the same sort of thing with Flickr sometimes. But that's not actually, unless you feel that she's barking at the fence because she wants a job to do and you're trying to substitute another one. That's another thought, of course. The thing that some of the things to give them a job is like, I will have, for instance, Flickr, because she's a dog who wants to do a lot of stuff. And we've been through this on our certification coaching calls, and I used to say, oh, I'll get her to fetch things and stuff like that, but that was too arousing for her. Actually, what works better is for me to just ask her, can you just be quiet with me? Can you just keep me company? Mm-hmm. Can you just be by my side and support me? Perhaps I'm feeling a bit stressed. Can you just help me to feel calm? And that works a lot better than getting her to actually do something physically. I know it sounds strange. It took me a long time to get my head around it. As Cecile knows, I used to offer all sorts of other things in our discussions, but it really comes down to something quite simple of having her be with me. There are other things that she does now that she collaborates with me, especially relating to the chickens, but that's only very, very recent, which is probably a more practical thing. But we started from something very basic, like just being together and just being my companion when I'm sitting down or doing something.
Yeah, I think my problem is that sometimes this works very well, but it's always when I'm already annoyed of her. So when she ran to the fence the third time, and then I'm really annoyed by it and tell her, please don't do it and just stay here with me because it's getting on my nerves. Then she really does it, and she's laid down and watching me. But when I try to do that right in the beginning, I think maybe I'm not honest enough or something like that. she senses that it's, I don't know. It has another meaning. Do you understand that? Because I don't know. When I'm annoyed, and I really mean it. Yeah. Mm. I didn't say it like that, but it's like when you can't just stay here with me, we have to go inside or something like that. But when I put that, when I'm relaxed and we just went out a couple of minutes and nothing happened yet, then I don't know. I'm not convincing enough.
I kind of do relate to what you mean about getting annoyed, but obviously that's not, once we're in that experience or emotional response, we're kind of joining in with, I mean, I'm kind of joining in with Flickr's arousal, and you're joining in with Fenya's arousal, I suppose. It's getting back to that calm place ourselves. To me, the thing with the fence is a bit is different from the thing with giving Fenya a job, but I don't know what you think, Cecile.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm just reading Marika's comments. Says she says, it sounds like she then shuts down maybe rather than responding to a job request. Marika, I'm just not sure what you mean. So I know it's in the chat. It's not as easier to communicate, but if you can just elaborate a little bit, that would be nice. And then Louise, from what your discussion now with Mary, I think the starting place always is for them, for all of us, as well as for us, like Mary said, being safe, calm, and happy. And when we get annoyed, like you're explaining, it's usually simply because we have let things and the situation, just the arousal for them and for us, go up. So, and when we're not in that safe, calm, and happy place anymore, I really don't think that anything good can come out of it anyway. So for me, focus would be more like, am I feeling good? Okay, then if I'm feeling good, if I'm feeling safe, calm, and happy, I'll be able to communicate right with you, and everything is gonna be okay. And that's probably your experience too. As soon as I feel that I, not even the dog, I am not safe, calm, and happy, if I have to put myself in your shoes, then I'm just gonna say, well, you're not going out now. Because if you do and it doesn't go right, I'm not gonna be able to handle it right. So just focus on ourselves first. And maybe it's also something that Kathy mentions often, prioritize what is most important to you. Is it working on your partnership with her? Or is it making sure that she can go outside if she wants? And probably sometimes it's gonna be okay if I want to prioritize my partnership and I'm not able to be a good partner to you now, it's best that you stay inside. And then when I will feel calmer, maybe we can do it. Or maybe later on I can take you on a long line or on a leash and we can do something together. But something that comes up, I think, in kind of every discussion that we ever have in BPA is it starts with us, always. So I would take that as a starting point. And then for the rest, I do agree with Mary that giving her a job when she's aroused is probably not gonna work for the same reason. Because when we are aroused or when they are aroused, we have no way to communicate anyway.
Yeah, I have the same problem with when I want to do some activities with her in the garden, because often she is not really responding to me because she has to look to the fence all the time. And then, before BPA, I kind of put pressure on her that she has to do it instead looking to the fence, but now I'm just stopping it. And sometimes we sit down and watch the fence together, and I'm telling her that there's nothing there or nothing where we have to react to. And then we just go inside. Yeah, but that results in that I have a bit the same problem as Gail, that I can't do much with her in the garden because she's just too distracted. And that puts a bit kind of pressure to me, because we don't have so much space in the house. I mean, we can do some stuff in the house, but I always feel like I have to do a bit more with her. But we don't have so much opportunities now as she's so distracted by everything outside.
Okay, can I share something? Maybe
it, sure.
Because I have a little bit similar issue. We just started the dig now, and Flo is accompanying me at work because I'm like 12 hours away from home, and it's too long for her. So for her, it's she counts people on the area, and she knows which people belong to us. And when stranger comes, like we have lots of visitors, she sometimes gets nervous and starts barking and lunging for it's obviously not safe, calm, or happy for anyone. Not for me, not for her, and not for the visitors, and not for other people working. So I was thinking about a job for her, because she actually guards the area. And guarding job is not good for a dog who actually thinks that has to guard anyway. So I told her that maybe she could make visitors welcome, so that they feel good when they come. And she can also, she doesn't have to be touched, you know, because people sometimes come to her because she's fluffy and wants to touch her. But I told her, no, I'm going to protect you. They will not come to you. You just lay there or do whatever you want in your safe area. And people you like are allowed to come, and you can just cuddle with them if you want to. And actually, in it just took like 3 days for her to completely change her attitude. And now when she's like frustrated, she barks only once to let us know that someone which does not belong to us came. And then I just usually I do hold a position so that she can stay there and she doesn't have to like make a fuss of it. And she's still alert, but she lays down and she lets me handle the situation. So I think with the job, you should find something that is okay with you as well. And so that could be a calming activity if the dog is already aroused and wants to guard or just takes a job on his own that is high arousal. So maybe you should turn it like the other way around. I don't know. That's it.
Can I ask you a question?
Go.
You said that it took 3 days and then the behavior changed or the situation changed. What did you do differently in those 3 days?
The first thing, I really knew what I wanted. This is very important for me because sometimes I think I want something, but I'm still too nervous to pass the message. So I just knew that we are not going to do this. And when the time came that I realized that she couldn't handle it anymore, I just calmly went to her and asked her to go with me to a car or something where she wouldn't meet people, okay? So I just really measured the pressure that she's getting and how arousal it was for her. And one other thing is I was really paying attention to the way I'm feeling, because you know, some people I don't like. And when I see a person that I don't like, I know she will feel my energy. So just to prevent any kind of her reaction, I just went to her and asked her to go with me. And we just make a circle around that person. And I just went to her to the car where she could rest in peace. So not in peace, like peacefully, because she actually feeds a lot from my energy as well. And the other day I just noticed, because I had a pain in my leg, that she was way more aroused than she was like a day before or the day after, just because of me. So yeah, that's one thing. The other thing is that I was really, really clear with communication with her. I talked to her. I had this image in my head, how I would like her to look like when somebody stranger comes, and she was. I think she understood me. I mean, okay, but it's still. I know sometimes it will be too difficult for her to do it. So I don't like expect like 100% of the time she will just be without reaction. She's allowed to have a reaction if she's over aroused, like I would, you know? So I just made that pressure off from both of us. And I think it kind of worked. For now, at least.
Wow, I like that.
That's great.
Thanks, Anna.
Are you feeling now, Louise? Do you know which way to go? You have ideas?
Yes, I think so, yeah. So first, I really have to get safe, calm, and happy myself.
Not have to, you want to.
It's good for you anyway, so it's not like...
And yeah, so... Yeah, it is, I think I will keep the pressure down and just don't let it come to the point where things get to annoy me. And yeah, I guess we will figure something out then.
I mean, you can't always help things annoying you. But how you react in that instant, now that you know you have this awareness, oh, I'm getting annoyed, and this is where the breathing practice or that kind of practice can just help us to, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, ground yourself or help yourself get back to the right space where you're not annoyed.
Yeah, I think the problem is that I'm getting frustrated because sometimes she's doing really good now. For example, 2 days ago, we were in the middle of the garden and then an older couple passed the garden and she ran to the fence and just stood there, watched them a few seconds, and then she came right back to me and she didn't bark. And it was perfect for me. So she just had a look and then she came back. And that would be all perfect. And then some minutes later, there was a young man passing by. He was moving a bit quicker. And then she ran to the fence and barked at him. And I don't know why she can just have a look at some people and then freaks out. And well, another one just a couple of minutes later.
Well, movement for some dogs can be quite exciting. So, you know, they just live in the moment. So it would evolve somebody moving quite quickly. Another thing I just wanted to just say or mention that a thought that crossed my mind was how much you're focusing on the fence, because it's come up an awful lot in when you And I'm just wondering if your concentration or focus or awareness of the fence is just maybe influencing it all as well. You know how when we focus on something that we don't want to happen, quite often it does, doesn't it? Because we're just thinking about it a lot and maybe even role modeling it a bit, like when you said you were sitting and watching the fence with her. And I'm not saying that it's anything that you shouldn't do. I'm just mentioning it's something to be aware of how much we might be concentrating on the thing that we don't want our dog to do, if that makes any sense at all.
Yes, it completely makes sense. I noticed that since last week when I decided to just let her run to it, to the fence, it became a lot better than before, because I really don't pay any attention to the fence anymore. And so she's a lot calmer and reacts not so often as before when I try to stop her from running to it. So now she more often runs to it but don't bark. But I guess it's because I don't pay attention to it, and she quickly comes back after that.
Great. But so you're getting some wins.
Yeah, we're getting some wins, but it's just sometimes, I don't know. The problem is I don't see what happens, because when she starts to bark, I'm too far away to see why. Because when I'm at a fence, because our garden is so huge, when I'm at a fence, people usually have already passed. And now I don't know what's the trigger now. So I can't really adjust things to it. I'm guessing that it's maybe when there's a dog with them, but I'm not sure, because 2 days ago I saw that she was walking at a young man who was just walking a bit faster. So
I don't know if you've seen Marika's comments, and I, Mary too. Yeah, I think I agree with her. Knowing why, it's not necessarily going to help you. What difference would it make to know why she's barking? It's not going to influence what you're going to do. It's just, okay, you know. But even if you don't, I mean, if you see what I mean, we as humans need to know, well, at least we think we do. we think... If we know why, everything is going to be solved. But at least with the dogs, knowing why doesn't make any difference. The only valuable information that you need is how is she reacting, how is she feeling, and how can I help her? Because I know how she is feeling. Now, why she is feeling the way she is feeling doesn't make any difference.
I agree.
Yeah, I guess I have to find or to figure out a point where she switches to running to the fence without barking to running to the fence with barking. Because often when she has barked, then she is aroused, and it's more likely that she will bark the next time somebody passes by. I guess I have to figure out.
Lynn has put a little comment in the chat about, can you section off an area of your garden which prevents Fenya getting to the fence?
Yeah, I tried that, but I couldn't find the right stuff, because I tried it with a removable fence, but it was not high enough and she can jump over it. And so she did. So Yeah, it's a bigger problem because the area is so big.
Mm.
We had a problem with the fence issue too. We have two neighbor dogs who were coming there barking all the time to try and get something going. And so then my dogs were going there, and that was going on for a long time. And so then we did do this thing where we put we call it chicken wire. I don't know where you live, but you know, a chicken wire fence out away from the fence that they were trying to go nose to nose at. And when we realized that they were still looking through the fence, we actually put like a visual barrier. We put like a roll of like this paper stuff that you would put in your garden, like a fabric stuff you would put in your garden. We put this whole roll of it along our fence. And it seemed very dramatic to be doing this. But the thing that happened immediately was they stopped going to the fence. And so Roxy's daily arousal of a few times a day of having this, you know, thing with the other dogs barking at the other side of the fence stopped. And then we noticed that her arousal about other sounds outside the house or the windows or everything like dropped dramatically just from the change in the backyard. So it seemed very strange to be taking these crazy measures to block the dog from the fence, but her arousal level dropped immediately in regards to everything. So now those dogs can be barking and I can just speak to her and she will come to me. It changed very much.
I can see how that would work, and lots of people in my history of being in BPA seem to have done similar management techniques. And it just reminds me of what Kathy was saying when I was trying to get Jarvis to go to the toilet in the garden, is if you want to create a new habit, you need to stop the old habit, basically. So we stopped going out for walks while trying to encourage him to go to the toilet in the garden. The way I see it, Louise, is that whilst ever she can continue to police the fence, guard the fence and run to it, it's going to be quite a battle to get her to change without some form of management issue, whether that's a long line or keeping her much closer to you or a fence or somewhere else to exercise altogether.
Can I ask a question for Louise?
Yeah.
Have you experimented with your response at all to when she does bark, or if you do catch her before, have you tried one thing versus acknowledging her versus saying I understand these noises are upsetting for you, but I'm here to support you and you just let me know when you need... Just have you varied your approach in how you deal with the barking or when she's anxious about something at the fence?
If I can catch her before she's running to the fence, it works quite well. So I go with her on our... Safe, calm, and happy corner in the garden, which is where we eat outside and stuff like this. And so we are going there, and I pet her and talk to her, and then she, very quick calms down. And I don't try to immediately go to her when she starts to bark, because I'm I had a feeling that it is a kind of that I kind of support her. It's I'm not fast enough, so she will do the joke for me, and when she comes back she's smiling at me I did it. the people are gone or something like that. So she always has a smiling face when she comes back. And I try to, when she didn't bark and comes running back, and I try to invite her and I started to appreciate it. And when she comes back after she barked, I kind of ignore her because I just, I don't want to support it so that she's like, yeah, getting a treat from it or something like that.
Yeah, so that's kind of, I remember I had a coaching call with Kathy recently about my dog's barking because sometimes she's anxious and sometimes when she chases a crow, it's not so much that she's scared. I don't know what it is, but I can see those as two different circumstances when she's unsure of a sound versus she sees a crow and she barks, she gets her hackles up and chases it away. So she feels successful for making it go away. But at the same time, so Kathy suggested when I come back, if I ignore her completely, then she's not coming back into a circle of safety. And this could be different because Mackenzie is actually anxious, even though whatever, it doesn't matter. But before I tried ignoring her and saying, I'm not going to reward that barking, but it didn't help us. It didn't help the reactivity at all. It didn't help. She just started taking it into her own hands more often when I ignored her. And then, so what I've been doing is not welcoming her back, like praising her, but when she comes back, I have to have a calm feeling and feel love in my heart and smile at her and just like welcome her back really calmly, like not saying you've done something good, but I also don't want to shut her out because that made her feel unwanted in our circle. So that made her less likely want to come back into the circle of safety. Does that make sense? Does that sound good?
Yes.
Yeah,
it sounds really good.
I just thought I would offer that because it might be similar. Like maybe she's not, maybe she is feeling like she's doing her job, but at the same time, we want her to want a reason to come back to us and feel, in our circle of safety. So.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. That's really good.
And you have a lot to go with, Louise.
But it was really helpful, the discussion. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he covered kind of all possibilities. not all possibilities, we can never cover all them, all of them, but all different aspects, I think.
Yes.
How you feel, how she feels, what you can do after, what you can do before. I don't know, I get that kind of feeling of a very complete image. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Yes, I feel the same way.
So you will also let us know how it goes.
Yes.
And I'm not sure, Beth, is that you on the phone? I see your phone number, but I don't know who it is. Does anyone know? Okay. Does any of you have anything else that you want to share before we stop for today? Yes, Anne?
Just very quickly, I had a question at the beginning of the meeting and the conversation solved it.
I bet.
it's really good. I was thinking, okay, I just won't ask my question, but it solved it because Vincent, my big, before this meeting, my big problem was Vincent is too rough with Flora. And when Kathy said we should get them out to play, get them out with playmates, well, our big problem was that we can't do that because he's too rough with everybody. He's just murders everybody. Mm-hmm. And so, and then I got all affronted because I thought, well, I'm not supposed to do the things because it's high arousal. Now she wants us to take them out and have play dates. That's impossible. I got quite affronted by it. But in this conversation, I got that it's the way I'm framing it. It's the way I'm framing it in my head. I'm convinced that he's rough and I stop him from doing it when, you know, but But if I can just, I need to focus on him when he's gentle, focus on him when he's being carried, and focus on how much he wants to play. He just hasn't figured out how to do it yet. And it'll, I think I'm pretty positive it's going to shift.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
And so, and if I remember well, I think, was it last week? I think you did mention something where he actually was very soft with someone or with another dog. So it does happen sometimes.
It does. It does happen sometimes. Yeah. And he is very, he's his secondary is earth, mm-hmm. and he wants harmony. He wants everybody to get along. He wants all that. It's just that he's like this 12-year-old boy that hasn't learned how to play on the playground yet. He thinks that he should push everybody over. And then he wonders why they don't like him, which was my son. So, I'm pretty excited about it. Thank you so much.
Great. Well, it's good.
Yeah.
Happy to hear that too. Well, maybe, I don't know. Well, the meeting started kind of weird because I had a problem with Zoom and stuff. So I didn't get into the habit of asking for a win, but maybe we can end the session this way. A win or something, an insight, something you learn or whatever about what we discussed today or anything else, so that we can end it on a positive note anyway, even though everything we discussed was positive. Who wants to start?
Well, that was mine, so.
All right.
I already started.
Thank you. Who else?
Yes, I also have something to share. So Fenian saved a bird from drowning 3 days ago. It fell down the raining pipe and ended up in a little, there's a thing on the end of it where the water is collected. And we didn't notice that there was a bird inside, and she pulled it out and didn't kill it. So it was still alive, but it was hurt. But I think it was because he fell down the raining pipe. Yeah, so. I was quite proud of her that she helped it.
Wow, I like that. I also had a small win. Flicker is a border collie. She's 3.5, going on 4. She obviously is a herding dog, but as yet I haven't done herding with her, although it's on the list. I've recently got some more chickens, and she has self-appointed herself the job of sort of watching them and taking care of them, and occasionally she's a bit rough because that's her nature. She's wood. I'm water with a bit of metal. And she's wood, and I think her secondary is wood as well. So she's quite pushy and bossy. We have worked out a system together of I've got two younger chickens who are not laying yet. And I've got two older ones, and I have to keep them separate, but they're in the same enclosure. Although sometimes they all come out in the garden. But anyway, Flicker now goes round. I open a bit to part of the enclosure, and I get a little cat crate because the chickens, the young chickens, have to go in a separate pen at night to keep them secure. And Flicker goes in one end of their pen, and then she's quite gentle. She stalks them, and gradually she gets them into the crate.
Right.
And I mean, this is a dog who, I don't know, she'll rush at things and bite at them, and she gets quite, or used to get quite highly excited. And anyway, she's come into her own with this, and it's something that we've just worked out ourselves. And also, if the chicks are out in the garden and it's getting late, and I say to her, we have to put the chickens to bed, and she will actually round them up. And I was surprised the other night, she'd actually got them to hop back into the enclosure and into their bit, and then she got them to get into the crate. I mean, I'm there with the crate. It's kind of easy because there's a little bit of plastic netting and stuff, but I'm quite impressed and really pleased that we can actually collaborate together, because we haven't up until quite recently been able to do that. Yeah, so that was my win anyway.
Well, beautiful one. Anyone else want to share something?
I'll go, because I think this might also be helpful for Louise, because I didn't mention it before. And even though I'm focusing on Rambo in RRI, this one's with Mackenzie. It's a little bit more relevant. But so in reference to working with crows, which is a big trigger for Mackenzie to chase, we only for the first time, you know, in the last week or so, have had a couple of times where I have managed to be present and get her attention before she runs after them, which is really important. So while what matters, you know, that we don't react when she does succeed in the behavior, I have had a few times where I've managed to either with a kissy noise get her attention when the crow is far away so she's not super alert, and then loved her choice and she'd just come towards me and she'd be really pleased with herself instead of being on high alert and hackles up. So that's pretty big. We've not had that before, so yeah.
Congratulations.
Wow. Yeah. Awesome.
Anyone else? Or not? Well, I can go with mine. I had, with the lockdown, I explained, I've learned to take the four girls on the leash on walks. And this morning, I would never have done it before the lockdown. I didn't know I could. I didn't know it was possible. And this morning I said, okay, we're leaving the house. We go our usual route. It's kind of not a very long walk, because I'm not too confident about my ability yet. So I'm just keeping it quite easy. And then this morning at some crossroads, instead of going to the left to our usual route, I kind of had the feeling that they wanted to go, they wanted to keep on, go straight. And I said, is that what you want to do? You want us to go for the long route? It's going to be an hour and a half. Apparently they said yes. And I said, well, okay, I think I can try that. I mean, it's 7 in the morning, so it's not going to be very crowded. And so we did it first time, and it worked. And we had a great time together, so was very happy. And we all enjoyed it, so we'll do it again. But I really have to be mindful of how I feel. If I'm not feeling up to it, I don't do that kind of stuff. Because I know they're about, I don't know, at least twice as heavy as I am. So, but what I've been learning lately very much is about how I can influence them. Because what I just said about how much I weigh is more about what's in my head. Like, well, yeah, they do have the physical ability to do whatever they want with me. Mm. But I do have influence over them. So that's what we're learning for now. That's my win for today.
Lovely.
Okay, ladies, sounds like we're complete today. So enjoy your week. See you in the Facebook group and see you next Tuesday, usual time. Bye all, and thank you.
Bye.
Bye.